Our next program item is entitled Top of Mind Every Day, Microsoft's Commitment to Accessibility and Innovation through partnership with the National Federation of the Blind. We met with the CEO of Microsoft in the early part of last year, and we have been engaging with Microsoft in trying to move accessibility in the work that they have been doing. And we have engagement with Microsoft at many levels. As you heard in the report, we were invited to speak on accessibility at Microsoft's Envision conference in New Orleans. Here to speak to us from Microsoft is a director of program management for Microsoft. He has responsibility for many of the Microsoft products, and he has been a true champion for accessibility, grabbing a hold of the spark that we have been able to light with both the CEO of the company, Satya Nadella, and the president of the company, Brad Smith, who co-signed the letter with us about the ADA regulations. Here to talk to us about progress at Microsoft is John Jendrzak.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hopefully the lunch has settled in and been digested and I can keep you entertained for an hour here. Or I'm sorry, 20 minutes, right? So thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'm missing the mic?
Get a little closer.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity to speak here today. I've had the privilege of speaking here last year and this year, and I'm honored to be here again to update you on the work we're doing with the Federation and our progress to bring digital inclusion to the modern workplace and your life. I think we have more people here this year than our record attendance last year. I hope you've had the opportunity to connect with other Microsoft employees, see the products that we're building, the work that we're doing to make them accessible, and to give us feedback, because we thrive on the feedback from the community, so please keep it coming. Last year, I shared our commitment about what we're planning to accomplish in the coming year, specifically focused on Microsoft Office. Today, I want to give broader context. I want to talk more about our Microsoft products in general, what we're doing to make them more accessible, our commitment to accessibility, and the culture shift that's happening in our company. Before I do that, though, I want to play a video from Satya Nadella, who wanted to address the audience here today. So, Will, if you could play the first video, that would be great.
Hi, I'm Satya Nadella, CEO of Microsoft. It's an honor to have the opportunity to address you today. At Microsoft, our mission is to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. Part of our mission means building products that are accessible to everyone on the planet. This includes the blind and the people with visual impairment. Accessibility is more than a commitment. It's something we pursue with passion that I care about deeply myself. It means being transparent with our product plans and accessibility goals, prioritizing inclusive design in the products we build, and fostering a diverse and inclusive culture within Microsoft. Partnerships with organizations like yours are fundamental to achieving our goals. I'm encouraged by the new projects and innovation that utilize digital technology to improve the lives of those with visual impairment. For example, with our partner Guide Dogs in the United Kingdom, we're exploring how technology can enable people with sight loss to independently navigate their towns and cities. And recently, a team at Microsoft, which includes a developer who is visually impaired, shared an incredible project called Seeing AI. Just imagine a pair of smart glasses with artificial intelligence to help a person with blindness read a menu at a restaurant, understand expressions of people they're talking to, and recognize objects in front of them. These research projects excite me for the future, for what we can collectively achieve to truly make a difference in the lives of everyone on the planet. Thank you so very much.
It truly is great to hear those words from my CEO, both in the context of this event and also in the context of the work that the teams are doing every day at Microsoft. I believe our company mission and the direction set for our employees is truly in line with that of the Federation. That hasn't always been apparent, though. We know that firsthand. Historically, Microsoft has relied on our partners to do much of the accessibility work for us. But over the years, our products have changed. We're connected to the cloud. We're on your mobile phone. The architecture and the way that we build our products has changed over time. And these modern applications have made it increasingly difficult for us to rely on others in our old accessibility model to build the core accessibility functionality that we require and that you require. Our services, our apps, and our operating system over time degraded, and that impacted you. We understand that, and we're taking our responsibility more seriously for your end-to-end experience. We cannot rely solely on our partners to do it for us. And that's a big transformation for Microsoft. We recognize that we need to bring in new people, we need to build accessibility into the way that we develop our software, and we need to cultivate deep partnerships to accelerate our progress. Just over a year ago, Ann Taylor, I think everybody here probably knows Ann Taylor. She made the hard decision to leave the Federation and to join Microsoft. I don't know where Anil is, but I'm sure somewhere he's saying it's a temporary loan. Yeah. So I like to think of it, Anil, more like a marriage. We're bonded, and we got lucky to be able to marry up. So we're in. Over the last year, Anne has had a profound impact at Microsoft. She's worked tirelessly as an advocate for equal access for everyone. One of the first things we asked her to do was to help us understand how our products impact her ability to do her job at Microsoft. Because when we don't do our best work, it impacts her job and it impacts everybody's ability to do meaningful work. Anne's worked with leaders at every level of the company to raise awareness. One particular meeting we had with an engineering team, Anne did a great job of tactfully walking them through the way she uses their product, pointing out the good things, pointing out the bad things. And that was a great meeting. The product engineers were riveted to what Anne was saying. Somebody opened their laptop, made some bug fixes right there in the meeting to improve the accessibility of the product. And after that, we got a mail from the leader of the engineering team just talking about how profoundly impacted they were by Anne's work and her impact on the team and how it's able to help them build more accessible software. Yep. She's done this across many, many products. Skype, Excel, Word, Outlook, SharePoint, OneDrive, OneNote, Access. I could go on and on about all the product teams she's worked with. She's helped our Windows Narrator team make the keyboard more intuitive and ergonomic. She's attended accessibility reviews with Satya and his direct reports to give them guidance. She reviews all of our internal scorecards and tells us when we're being too critical and when we need to be more critical of our own work. In a nutshell, Anne is a handful. As people laughing know. More seriously, though, she's had a huge indelible impact on Microsoft in just her first year there, and so we're very grateful for the partnership we have there and the opportunity to work more closely with Anne. As you saw in the video that Satya was in, he fully embraces accessibility as a part of our company mission. He's an engineer at heart and has included accessibility as one of his key priorities. He was a sponsor of the Disability Employee Resource Group before he was CEO, and his passion just continues to grow. And it's really my job and the job of others at Microsoft to make sure that we're executing on that. Last year when I spoke here, I was one of the first senior leaders at Microsoft to be directly involved and have a hand in driving our accessibility. Over the last year, we've grown the number of senior leaders in our organization that are accountable for accessibility, from Windows, where we're driving changes to both the core Windows product and Narrator, to our developer division to make sure that we are doing two important things. Number one, we're building tools so that other engineers can make accessible software at Microsoft, or other engineers in the world can make other accessible products on Microsoft's platform. And secondarily, we want to make sure that those tools are available so that all of your children who are going through STEM programs have development tools to be able to be engineers. But to do our best work, we really need close partnership. Partners to help us prioritize the right work and to ensure that the products we're building will be the best to serve you. For us, it hasn't been a question of if we're going to invest, but really whether we were prioritizing properly and designing it in the right way. To that end, last year, we increased our investment in interaction with the Federation to make our products more accessible. And the feedback from the Federation has been incredible. Windows Narrator has been a place where we've received an immense amount of feedback, and that's a place where we really want to make a product that shines. We want it to be usable for daily use on Windows operating system. We have specific improvements to performance, reliability, and usability, and soon you'll see those improvements come to market. Thank you. At the same time, as part of those improvements, we'll have several faster voices, averaging nearly 800 words per minute. Improvements to keyboard navigation and Narrator, 6 levels of verbosity to give more detail about the characteristics of text, and soon, hopefully by the end of this year, we'll have something along the lines of support for Braille in the operating system directly. We know there's a lot of work to do before Narrator is where we all want it to be, and we're going to continue to invest there. At the same time, we're going to continue to work with our partners, Freedom Scientific, both for JAWS and WindowEyes, as well as NVDA, to make sure that all of the screen readers work well with Microsoft products. We've prioritized accessibility improvements in the core Windows operating system itself, things like setup, the start menu, our lock screen, Cortana, the Microsoft Store, our music player, movies, television, and our mail applications are all improved. And I really encourage everyone this summer to try the Windows 10 anniversary update. We'll make sure that it's free for people with screen readers, and we'll make sure that we keep the Federation appraised of how to best make that available to the members. So let me talk for a minute about Office. We've made quite a few changes in Office. And in April 2015, digital inclusion became one of our top 7 priorities in our division. About the same time, I was asked to lead it across our organization, and as part of leading it, we developed a simple 3-part strategy for how we're going to improve our overall accessibility. First and foremost, we're committed to making sure that you can create, consume, and communicate on any device that you own, period. We want to make sure that Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Project, Outlook, SharePoint, Skype, Bing, all of our applications are improved, and that they're fully capable of being able to consume any content and make it readable to you. We want to make sure that we do it across all platforms. We want to cover Windows, iOS, Mac, Android, and the web. We are the only company producing productivity software across all platforms for our customers. We also want to make sure that our software is accessible on day one. That's incredibly important to us. This year alone, we've had multiple cases where we stopped the shipment of products because they weren't accessible. And that, exactly. It's a little bit strange for a software engineer to applaud not shipping something. So we are all kind of going like this, feeling good about it, but feeling strange at the same time because you're ingrained to ship, and fix the bugs later. But we're actually changing our culture, so that's a good thing. The second thing that we're doing as part of that strategy is we want to make it possible for everyone to be able to create accessible content. Because if you don't create accessible content, it doesn't matter if it's readable. And so we want to make that super easy that people who are creating Word documents or PowerPoint presentations or doing Skype meetings are able to do it in an accessible way without having to think twice or 3 times about exactly what to do to make it work. At the same time, our third part is we want to make it efficient to use Office with Narrator. We want Microsoft to have a great first-party, out-of-box, free experience. So that's key for us. there's a handful of things we're also doing directly in the product that we've done over the last year. We shipped high-contrast mode, a new high-contrast mode in our product to help people with low vision, and we've gotten great feedback on that. We've released a new iOS mobile app for SharePoint that's fully accessible from the beginning. We've redesigned the SharePoint homepage to be accessible. We're releasing improvements to our document libraries and to our site content soon as well, and we know that SharePoint's critical for you and your job, and so we want to make sure it's accessible. The mail and calendar apps in Windows are accessible now, finally, I think we'd say. And Outlook 2016 is accessible as well using Narrator. We've spent over 3,000 hours working on documentation in the last year to make our products more discoverable and understandable with people with disabilities. And then finally, as President Riccobono said, we have an early release of the CAN-FB reader for Windows, and we're super excited about that. We believe the daily challenges people with disabilities face provides a great lens that unlocks innovation. This is evident in the work that Mr. Kurzweil does and the many inventions he's developed. Our own OneNote learning project, though pales in comparison to the work that he's done, is having a tremendous impact in teaching kids to read. And this product was originally built to teach dyslexic to read. But it's having this knock-on effect for everyone. And we call this inclusive design, and it's really being embraced at Microsoft. There's one project that I think really embodies inclusive design, and we call it Cities Unlocked. Satya referred to it a little bit in his introduction. And Cities Unlocked was an idea of one of our employees, Amos Miller. He's an architect at Microsoft. He's blind, and he's passionate about how technology can help people navigate. He and others have been working on this. They've been working with third-party organizations in the UK. And our hope is to get something like the Cities Unlocked out in the next 12 to 18 months. We had a session here earlier this week, and I think we got a lot of great feedback from people that were attending it. But I wanted to just play a video that shows what we're working on to give everybody a flavor. So Will, if you could play video two, that would be great.
Indistinct objects glow in blurry surroundings. The screen reads, "Imagine if your world looked like this." Fuzzy images are different colors, and dark silhouettes move across a dim background. The scene comes into focus. A man wearing a headset is seated at a counter.
My name is Amos Miller. I lost my sight as a teenager. The estimates are around 300 million people who are visually impaired around the world.
Outside, Amos is using a white cane.
I work for Microsoft as the regional director for our digital advisory services in Asia. I ask myself, why isn't technology playing a bigger role in getting people out and about and independent?
As sighted people, we take so much for granted. Then all of a sudden, designing for somebody who isn't you and to whose experience you find it very difficult to relate is an enormous challenge. My name is John L. Chudge. I'm based out of the UK, and my role as a designer, as a UX architect, is really acting as the advocate for the end user.
So the technology that we've developed is designed to complement your existing experience. It's not designed to replace a cane or a guide dog. It's designed to enrich your understanding of the surrounding around you.
There's a physical aspect to the technology. It relies on the phone driving the entire experience. The intelligence, the smarts, in many ways, live inside the phone. It requires a headset.
A man puts on a headset.
And the headset is able to track the movement of your head.
A woman turns.
A sunny spot to relax.
So the non-physical part of it, the virtual part of it, is, we call it an audio augmented reality.
Jimmy's Cafe.
And it's having these little sort of descriptions floating in the air around you.
Benches.
That kind of help you understand, you know, where the coffee shop is, where the train station is.
Replacement path 20 meters to the right.
Compared to the experience that you would have if you didn't have any of those cues.
Flowering garden.
At least I know where I am. I get a bit of sense of direction. And yes, I might still make a mistake, I might still enter the wrong building or still ask for help, but at least I'm in control. I feel really empowered at that moment.
All of a sudden, you know, technology now has purpose, it has meaning, it has value, because we're helping people realize their dreams, their ambitions, opening up new possibilities. The whole experience is powered by our cloud.
We harness the power of the Azure services.
Bus stop to South Road.
I think what we are seeing here is technology that, in effect, disappears and puts the human experience at the center.
When I think about the mission that we have as a company, you know, to empower every person on the planet, I think this project starts to embody and reflect what that actually means in practice. The work that we've done, we've seen smiles of sort of joy and exuberance spread over people's faces when they begin to sort of understand and appreciate what they now have the potential of doing, what possibilities could open up to them. You know, technology can impact us at such a deep, emotional, significant level. Yet this is all about what it is to be human.
The work that we've done and are planning to do represents a small step on our journey to make our products better for you. This is work that we have to do for the rest of our lives. In my experience at Microsoft, I've heard countless personal stories that have provided indelible and incredible motivation to me as an employee and as an advocate. I learned that personal experience, passion, and understanding is crucial for our journey and to ensure that this is an enduring attribute of our culture. I want to thank the leadership of the Federation and the membership of the Federation for helping build this awareness in me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. Our relationship with Microsoft has sometimes been up and sometimes been down. But over the last 18 months, since we first had the meeting with Satya, I think we have come to find an increasing level of honesty, openness, partnership, and real desire to take the hopes and dreams of blind people and the real frustrations of blind people and find a way to make the Microsoft products better and to make the Microsoft products not a source of those frustrations. And I think the leadership, like we see in John Jendrzak, is a great example. So thank you, John. Thank you to Ann Taylor, of course. And thank you to the leaders at Microsoft. And they know that we'll hold them accountable. So.